Well, you've got Metal Gear. So
is a reason. But then again, yeah. I was up till like 4 a.m. playing last night. I didn't mean to, but it was like, I was like, oh, one more mission, and it was like midnight. And no, I did one more mission. It was just the hardest, longest freaking mission. And yeah, and if you messed up, which I did 3 times.
Yo, God.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, I was there was one mission I was doing, and I was like on the brink of falling asleep. And this has been happening more frequently, so I need to stop doing this. But I will fall asleep while playing, and I'll zone in and out.
That's a bad idea.
So like, but I do remember like I was conscious enough that I was like, oh, this is bad. I'm like zoning out. Just like set the game on like set my PS4 on sleep mode. And I was even conscious enough to turn off my TV, which sometimes I forget to do. Like, sometimes I don't have the energy to do. I just knock out before I turn off my TV. And then I wake up the next day, turn on my TV, you know, go back into my game, and Snake is caked in blood. And I'm just like, what happened to you? Like, I have no memory of this. And, like, because last I remember he was fine, and then, like, my game restarts, and, like, I boot back up the game because it was in sleep mode, so it's like it was essentially paused, and just like he's caked in blood, and I'm just like, yeah. So apparently, I got into some sort of firefight without really realizing it.
It happens.
Yeah.
Like I said, get quiet. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's when the game stops becoming a chore and starts becoming fun.
Yeah, it's still a chore at this point, but I'm still enjoying the chore, though.
Well, then I'll go on my spiel here about this.
Oh, go ahead.
I love Quiet. I love Quiet so much. And the reason I love Quiet is because, as a character, she does something in games that few game characters actually do. When you start out with Quiet, you can tell her to sit at a point, you can tell her to shoot, where you can tell her to scout an area. And she does that, and that's all she does. She'll do those things. Mm-hmm. But as you, like, build a rapport with her, and by build a rapport, I don't mean through cutscenes. I mean just through doing missions with her and stuff like that, and, like, paying attention to her in the helicopter or visiting her in her cell. Like, by doing those things with her, you build this rapport, and she starts acting differently in the game. Like, to the point where, like, I would just send her off to scout the next area, and I was just drove through a checkpoint because I was had to go halfway across the map, so why not, right? I don't care if I get seen. It's not, you know, it's not in a real mission or anything, just a side quest. And suddenly, I see that she is just teleporting across the map, hopping to a sniper position to protect me. Because she cares about me now. We have become friends and comrades, and so now she acts differently than she used to. Later on, like, there would be the times when you get into the reflex mode and everything goes into slow motion, and I'm, you know, I'm pulling up my gun to take the shot, and I shoot, and as soon as I shoot, I see my bullet hit the guy, and then I see her bullet hit the guy. Because she's taking advantage of the reflex mode to help me. And I was like, and that's not how it starts. By any means, that's not how it starts. But she starts acting on her own to support you, the better your relationship is with her.
Honestly, like, from a technical standpoint, Metal Gear Solid 5 is a marvel. Like,
it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Although I'm always weirded out when they do, like, when we get into a cutscene and the gun in Snake's hand is a gun I haven't ever had equipped.
Well, is it like the Mass Effect thing, or?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like the good thing Shepard always has that one pistol. Yeah. It's a good thing Snake always has that one sidearm, or that or that AK. And I'm just like, what? No, like, I haven't had that equipped in, like, 20 missions. What's going on here? Or it's like, oh, like, it whoops out the lethal gun. I'm like, man, I haven't carried a single lethal weapon. You know, like when I run into a battle where, like, I have to blow something up, like I need a rocket launcher or something, I gotta get it dropped in. I never come equipped with it. I come into every battle with my tranq pistol, my rubber bullet shotgun, my stun arm, and my tranq sniper rifle.
Have you developed any of the lethal weapons at all?
Grenade launcher and rocket launcher.
I do hear that at some point you're going to need the rocket launcher.
Yeah, but there's more than a few missions. Okay. Like, don't get me wrong, later on... unfortunately, when you go into some of those missions, yeah, you're going to have to blow some stuff up. And that's just how it is, because you can't even develop the non-lethal versions yet.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a long time before you can make EMP mines to take out vehicles. And even then, that only stuns them. You have to have the airlift upgrade to be able to airlift them out, which is the only non-lethal way to capture a tank.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down to the... like the helicopters, there's nothing you can do. Maybe I'll find something that takes them out, like an EMP gun or something, but if it exists, I have not found the blueprints, let me tell you.
Have you tried any of the online stuff yet?
Nope, I actually kept it off on purpose. I first started, it was during the server problems, so nobody was playing it.
No, as far as I know, I have 15 MB points.
Okay.
that you get for, like, logging in. That's as far as I know, because I've actually seen that message, but...
Well, like, the thing is, whoever you use for those bases can be kidnapped by other players.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Or you can... And I'm just like, no, let me get... When my base is fully stocked in the way I want it to be stocked and fully upgraded, maybe then I'll think about...
Yeah, some little online. A little spillover, but yeah.
Yeah, but... For now, they're like, oh, yeah, you can only dispatch two teams, but you could dispatch more if you had a forward base. I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't feel like having my forward base teams kidnapped by assholes.
I think that, in that sense, this is a game that I really appreciate, that it has those, like, microtransaction bullshittery, but by its very design, you don't need them.
Yeah, you can just be like, ignore it, and be like, all right,
yeah. Do you think that was intentional?
Yeah, I think
because
they
something
knew.
Gives me a feeling that it was. I think.
I don't. How do I put it? I think they knew that if they made a game that is a single player game, let's be serious here.
Yeah.
And had it have an always online component, and that it couldn't work without the always online component, people would flip.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened with the Xbox One, right? And they said it had to be always online. People lost their crap. So I think they were like, well, here's an online mode that'll make it better, but it plays perfectly fine without. I just don't know if they expected so many people to just be like, nah, I'm good.
Well, the thing is that, like, they say it plays better, and technically it does, but the thing is that in most cases, most games, it's like you're, like, stuck in, like, second or third gear. Like, you can play fine, but... there is a very obvious advantage to, you know, putting in the extra money, which is, you know, the way it's designed to be. But the fact, like, there has been nothing, as far as I've seen or heard and experienced, there has been nothing to make me think, this could be better.
Yeah, I think it's just having extra teams to send out on missions is... I mean, I'm not going to lie, that'll get you money faster and that'll get you resources faster, which is nice.
Yeah,
But if the trade-off is, like, people kidnapping my really good people, no thanks. I'll be okay.
Yes. Anyways, but yes, this is the Wayward Podcast. As people may have heard, my regular co-host, Kat, is not here. Kat and Tony. Tony actually has gone back to... the U.S., I believe, permanently, which makes him the second co-host I've lost. And so today we have my good friend Richard.
Hello.
Yes, fellow writer for Kotaku. And currently, I believe we are both addicted to Metal Gear 5.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, like, the submissions sometimes drive me insane because I want to do every one of them and then the same damn thing over and over. And especially once they get to the areas that were very much like super boss infiltration place, and they're like, oh yeah, you gotta do that again, but now there's a random guy in there, and I'm just like, oh, kill me now. I'm like, I didn't like infiltrating that the first time, I don't want to do it again. Only once you get quiet, it becomes a lot easier, so suddenly I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I need to get it now. I don't know. Hours left in day. don't have enough time.
Probably not.
But I mean, one of the problems I actually had was initially was the thing stuck in his head. Because at first I thought I'd have a problem with that, like playing as Big Boss with shrapnel stuck in his head, and yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
like I really
it's
don't mind.
It's so funny because like I've decided in my own headcanon, like after seeing his X-rays, the reason that like Big Boss can be shot like 40 or 50 times is because all the bullets just go in and hit other pieces of shrapnel. So it never goes anywhere because he's just like 90% metal on the inside. Like those X-rays were insane. It's like this is all the shrapnel we couldn't remove, and I'm like, "What did you remove then?"
I'm surprised he doesn't rattle when he he actually does rattle when he crawls, but that's different. But yeah, but yeah. Oh
no, that was interesting. It's an interesting game. It's a lot of fun. The story stuff is pretty fun, too. But the submissions I like, I wish there was a way that I could call in the helicopter and not have to load back into the helicopter base when I just want to stay on one map and go between places. That said, I know there is a way to do that, but I didn't find that out until, like, maybe 50% of the way through the game, that a lot of the outposts have little yellow platforms. Mm-hmm. If you go to that platform, you can, like, you can activate it, and then if you put a cardboard box down on that place, you can quick travel to any other platform.
No, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, that's the thing. You have. You just don't know it.
Okay.
Like, they never tell you that.
Stop making me want to stop this recording short so I can go play.
So you can play. Well, like, that was the thing. If I would have known... Like, I've been to every outpost on the entire freaking game. I just didn't know that these things existed. Until way late. And I was like, oh, well, crap.
And you got the Kiefer Sutherland version?
I did.
Yes. How is that?
Although it does say I can switch to Japanese, I just never have tried. I don't know if that means the text will switch to Japanese.
It's just the text.
Or the voice
I'm fairly certain it's just the text. Well, considering the sheer amount of audio stuff in there, I mean, I guess it might be possible.
I mean, we live in the day where the MP3 exists.
Yeah.
So.
I wonder, though. But yeah, just the sheer amount of stuff, I'm like...
Like, honestly, though, I mean, think about all the audio that was in, like, Metal Gear Solid, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this game has more than Metal Gear Solid. And that was on 700 megabytes.
Yeah.
And
I'm pretty sure it has more, but I don't know if it has more than, say... Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But it was... I mean, then again, Peace Walker had so much.
Yeah, that's...
Like, it was pretty much the same thing. And that fit on a UMD, so come on.
Yeah. And a UMD, I believe, is 1.8. It's not 2.
No. It's 1.6.
Yeah, okay. 1.6, yeah.
UMD.
Gigs, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so... I don't know. Like... That's fine. I mean, I knew when I was going in that I was going to get Kiefer Sutherland. I would not be opposed to going back and redoing the other games with Kiefer Sutherland.
Really?
Well, by other games, I mean 3 and Peace Walker.
Yeah.
And just be like, from now on, Big Boss is Kiefer Sutherland and Solid Snake is David Hayter. I'd be like, okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
That doesn't upset me.
Think they might go back and Peter Dinklage that thing or
Nolan North it.
Yeah, Nolan North it, yeah.
Take out the dink pot, put in Nolan North.
Yeah.
Because there was one game this year that didn't have Nolan North in it, and now it has Nolan North in
it. Yeah. I haven't played Destiny enough to really find a problem with like have issues with Peter Dinklage's thing acting.
It's just so doesn't fit anything. Like, the tone, I don't know, his tone of voice is always really wrong. And unfortunately, the lines that most people have heard were the ones that were repeated in the farming areas. Like, you've awoken the hive! And, you know, I mean, it might have sounded okay the first time, but the 50th time you're about to butt off.
Okay, yeah, I can see that now. Oh.
And I think it's the voice directing on that one. Like, I think they told him poorly what to do. I think they were like, be a robot, but with a little bit of emotion.
Yeah.
And guess what? That means you have something that's not funny because it's, like, blunt and robotic. And
yeah.
not human enough to get an emotional response. So,
yeah.
there you go.
Yeah.
You get Dinkbot.
Yeah. Dinkbot. I'm sorry, the latest thing I heard about Peter Dinklage was just the fact that he's in Pixels, and that distresses me. So
yeah.
That's been getting a lot of hype in Japan.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, and that makes me sad.
It's very
And they'll probably like it, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I can never gauge what a Japanese audience will like.
Yeah, the fact that they liked Ted always makes me feel weird. Because the humor in Ted does not transfer well into Japanese,
yeah.
a language where sarcasm does not exist.
Yeah.
And so, the funny thing is, why did Japanese like Ted? They like Ted because the teddy bear is cute.
Yeah. Well, they like the Ted because they like the sort of, well, that's one of the hooks of this thing itself, the
right.
fact that, like, it's a teddy bear, but it's vulgar and all that shit, but...
Yeah.
Even so, like, a lot of the humor just does not translate at all, like... The whole thing, like, I don't, like, no, I do totally don't sound like Peter Griffin. Like, nobody's going to understand that.
Right.
Like,
because, I mean, I know Simpsons airs here in Japan, but I don't,
yeah.
Does Family Guy?
It does, I believe. I mean, it does exist, but I don't know anybody
yeah,
who knows
back,
it.
Back when I had cable and Fox Japan, like, no. they played Simpsons, but they didn't play Family Guy.
I'm fairly certain it does play, like, it does exist if you look for it, but yeah, you're not really, like, you're gonna have to actively try to find it, otherwise no. But yeah, so yeah, just Pixels.
But no, I'm sorry, Kiefer Sutherland, I never get tired of Kiefer Sutherland.
Like, going back to that, thank you. Going back to something I like. Yes.
No, like no matter what, like, what is that movie with him where it's literally just his voice and a dude in a phone? It's The Phone Booth, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just a dude and then Kiefer Sutherland talking to the dude for like an hour and 20 minutes. It's great.
Colin Farrell?
Yeah, yeah, that's
Colin Farrell. Yeah,
yep.
Very underappreciated.
Yeah, like, I think in that movie you get to actually see Kiefer Sutherland for a grand total of like 2 seconds, and he doesn't even look like Kiefer Sutherland.
No, yeah, I did, yeah,
because
I didn't
realize
it was
hunched,
Kiefer Sutherland,
so he looks like really mousy and has
yeah.
like glasses on. He's more like Kiefer Sutherland was in Dark City. That's
oh,
that's
God.
The kind of, like, they tried to make him nerdy, but it's hard to make Jack Bauer nerdy.
Oh God, I love Kiefer Sutherland in Dark City.
Yeah, but yeah, so like I have nothing. In fact, my complaint with his performance in Metal Gear Solid 5 is that there's not enough of him in Metal Gear Solid 5. Because what ends up happening is, for whatever reason, unless you're listening to the audio logs religiously, which I absolutely am, Snake almost never talks.
No.
He doesn't talk in cutscenes. He doesn't talk, like, on the map.
Yeah.
He doesn't respond
mostly
to radio transmissions.
It's mostly grunting and stuff like that.
No, really, that's what it is. It's just him grunting, and then like even when other characters ask him direct questions over the radio, he never responds. And I can't figure out what happened. Like, did they go in there and they're like, well, to increase immersion, we're going to remove Kiefer Sutherland from everything except the audio tapes. And I'm just kind of like, what? What? Why? What point does that serve? I mean, do you think that somehow I'll identify with Snake more if he's not Kiefer Sutherland? If so, why did you hire Kiefer Sutherland?
How much did Snake talk in the previous games, though?
A lot.
Yeah.
A ton. An absolute ton.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Like, that's back. The whole thing, is this feels weird, because so much has been, like, times when he should speak, he doesn't. Like, he's always had running conversations, whether they're codec or not.
Mm.
And now to have it be 99% of the time only in audio recordings of the past,
yeah,
you know, is really weird to me. And I don't like it, because I'm just kind of like... like, especially because when you get down to it, Quiet doesn't talk. There's a reason her name is Quiet. Yeah. And if he never talks to her, and she never talks...
Yeah.
Do you guys see the problem here?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally, the most you can say to her is, Quiet. Like, literally, that's it. Or, stand down, or cover
and you can't
me.
And you can't tell if he's calling her name or he's giving an order.
Exactly. That one destroys me when he says quiet, because I can't figure out from the voice tone what he means. I can't figure out whether he's, like, admonishing her. Like, do I say this when she messes up? Like, am I like, quiet? Or is it he's just, like acknowledging her? Like, good job, like, quiet. You know? Like, you did it, kind of thing. Yeah. And the voice tone is so freaking ambiguous. And her reaction is equally ambiguous. Because, like, if I, like, whoop up my binoculars and look at her while that happens, she looks away shy. So is she looking away shy because she's embarrassed that I just berated her? Or is she looking away shy because I just praised her? I don't know. It gets to me because I can't figure out why this choice was made. Well, I think I know why, but I, you know.
Well, please share.
Yeah, well, no, I think I said this, that I think that the reason they did this is the same reason so many video game protagonists are unvoiced.
Yeah.
Or don't have a voice. The Gordon Freemans, the Shells, you know, that kind of thing. It's because you are Gordon Freeman. You are Solid Snake. But that's the thing. You're not Solid Snake. And you're not Big Boss. Or, well, you're not Big Boss. That's really what it is. Sorry, not Solid Snake. Yeah. You aren't Big Boss, okay? Big Boss has this giant history and well-known, like, antics and actions and personality. And trying to imply that if we take out him talking, I am somehow him? No, I am in no way Big Boss.
I think, well, there is also the possibility that, you remember, you've played Peace Walker, right?
Of course.
And you know how you could go back and redo the same mission, but with different characters?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that might have been a possibility?
Actually, you can do that in this one. In 5, you can do that.
Oh, I have.
And that might be the reason why. You don't have the attack platform yet.
No.
But when you get the attack platform, which is how you send missions to get resources and stuff... Other than the, like, 200 or 300 you pick up, you know? which isn't enough at all to do any kind of really serious development. But, eventually, once you unlock that, anybody on that team you can play as instead of Snake. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's the whole reason. But I don't want to play as you know, praying Ocelot or whatever, you know, mixture of two words they have decided.
Was it an adjective and a...
You get to name animal. Your own unit. I don't know if you've gone into the customize menu, but you can do that. And you create your own emblem and everything. But so every time you capture an outpost, you unlock a different adjective and a different noun. And then you can mix and match them to make your own unit.
This game is insane, and I love it.
That's funny. That's funny and that's fun. I ended up getting the Foxhound logo, though, and that was pretty cool. Because apparently that's really difficult, and I accidentally did it, so that's always nice.
Okay. Yeah,
It's you have to do 3 missions in a row perfect, without getting found, without entering reflex mode, without any kills. And I did. I have no idea what those 3 were, but since that's how I try to play no matter what, okay.
I still have not been able to complete a single mission without going into reflex mode, and it irks me very much. I've been able to... I've been able to go with one side op without going into reflex mode, but that doesn't really count.
Well, but that's the thing. You don't have the sniper rifle yet.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. And once you get the... And even then, though, the sniper rifle actually kind of sucks, because it's loud.
Yeah.
But eventually you'll get... you'll pick up on one of your missions, you'll pick up a gunsmith, and the gunsmith... He allows you to customize weapons, and then you just customize a silencer right out of the front of that damn thing.
Hey, what do you know?
Uh-huh.
You'd think somebody had thought of this before, yeah.
Yeah, and once you have Quiet with the Trank sniper rifle and you with the Trank sniper rifle, you just go into an area, and you tell her to start shooting, and you start shooting, and 40 seconds later, you've captured Giant City or Outpost or whatever else.
Yes.
So it's nice.
Yeah,
Fun Times Had by All.
This might be my game of the year.
You think?
And it's still early. Well, it's still September, but yeah, this might be my game of the year. I mean, I don't get to play as many games. I actually have a list of all the games I've played, and I don't think it's more than 10 that have come out this year.
Hmm.
So,
I'm thinking about it. It's a little repetitive, and with the side ops, it's pretty damn repetitive. And those annoy me, actually. Some of them do. Some of them are actually really fun, but others, I'm just like, oh, this one again, okay. You know, it's like, oh, back to the airport level. Back to the military base level. You know, and I'm just like, great. Just freaking kill me now. But outside of that, I've enjoyed it so far.
Well, I mean, it's on its core gameplay alone. Mm-hmm. Just
I'm impressed with how many ways you can do things.
Yeah.
There's a boss battle that I won't spoil for you in any way, shape, or form, but there's actually it's the fire guy. It's a different version of the fire guy. Obviously you meet him again. I mean that's not a spoiler if you put Burning it in the first Man, 5 minutes. Yeah, in one of the times you encounter him, you have a boss battle and there are many, many ways to do that boss battle. Hmm. And I did a way that no one else has done that I found And I was actually really happy with that. I was like, well, would you look at that? They programmed in all these possible ways to do the battle. There's not one trick to figure out. There's many different ways that you can figure out how to do this.
Well, I mean, Kojima's been doing that for the longest time. I mean, I remember one of my favorites was The End from Metal Gear 3.
Oh, that one makes me sad.
There's like, you can beat him normally. Like, you can take out his stamina. You can kill him. You can blow him up in a while he's still in a wheelchair in a previous cutscene.
Yeah. Right at the end of the cutscene, you can snipe him in the head.
Yeah, or you can make him die of old age.
Yes, by putting your clock forward 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean shit like that. Just like
the real one that I love like that is Psychomantis in Metal Gear Solid.
The was it the controller?
Because there's actually several different ways to do that fight.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've only found I've only played that game once, so I've only done the controller thing. But
yeah, the controller one is the obvious one, right? That's the one you're supposed to do.
That's the one the game tells you to do.
Right, but there's the possibility that what if you have a PlayStation where the second controller port's broken? You just can't beat the game? Is that what's going to happen? And that's not it at all. Like, you learn a whole bunch, like, you can keep calling, and eventually they're like, there must be something wrong with your second controller port. So here's what we're going to do. He can't stand the look of his own face. And so what you end up doing is you start shooting the statues of him in the room. And every time you do that, he freaks out for a few seconds and you can hit him.
Huh.
Yeah. So, and that didn't need to be in there. They didn't ever need to do that, but it's always nice when they did.
Yeah, that's always been a good mark of what Kojima does, so.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I just wish it would tell you in 5 if a character, if it's okay to lethally deal with a character and it won't kill them.
Because
there's a series of bosses that, you can shoot them with a rocket in the face, and that's fine. Does not kill them. Hmm. And I wish I would have known that, because...
Yeah,
when I go out there and I only have one thing, my little trank gun, and it does zero damage, then you start to go, why do you even bother to have a blue bar?
Even with getting acquiring quiet, which, sorry, spoilers, but, you can totally shoot her with a lethal weapon.
Yeah.
But
if you trank her, though, you get up, she has a far, far more like for you when you join.
A higher approval rating, yeah.
Yeah, which means she's actually not useless when you start up. Well, I say useless. She's never useless. She's useless if you're trying to play non-lethally. Because you got to get her leveled up high enough to get her trank sniper rifle. Good stuff. So, Metal Gear Podcast.
Yeah, I think this might end up being that. But slightly going off that, because actually in... next week is Tokyo Game Show, TGS. Mm-hmm. And Konami's going to have a booth, but...
They are.
Makes me wonder what they're going to have there.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if like they have a companion Metal Gear Online kind of thing?
Well, they might have something for Metal Gear Online.
Yeah, like, because, you know, all the servers for the old Metal Gear Online have long been turned off.
Yeah. But, like, well, that's the thing is, Metal Gear Online, they're bringing that back for 5, and it's just delayed. It's like, GTA Online.
Yeah, and, but, I mean, that's fine. Don't get me wrong. There's more than enough for my money's worth in this one.
Although, if the server situation for Metal Gear Online is what it was for Metal Gear 5, when we first started Metal Gear 5, or where we still are now, because, yeah, I can't leave my game alone for an hour without it going offline. So, yeah, I mean, I can connect, but it'll disconnect if I'm not careful. But, I mean, if the server situation is anything like that, then, yeah, that's going to be a clusterfuck.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we'll see that at Tokyo Game Show.
Okay.
I mean, after they make you make your freaking avatar in, like, the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
That was weird. I didn't know what to think about that, because I was like, wait, no, I don't want my snake to look like anyone else. I want my snake to look like Snake. Yeah. And it's like, oh, no, red herring are bad.
Yeah. Well, that's probably for online, so for your avatar for online. So.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's exactly what it is. It's just they, you know, they try to keep it in, you know, in reality, in the game's reality when they say that.
Yeah, because the doctor goes like, "Yeah, this is going to be your new face," and I'm just like, "Wait, no." Yeah.
Like, really? I'm going to be a black man? That's interesting. How are we going to pull that one off? I don't think plastic surgery works that way, Doc.
Yeah, well, mine's an Asian man, though, so.
That's fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Yes, but, so Tokyo Game Show. This is your what? Your sixth? Fifth?
More than that. What?
I know it's my fourth, is it?
Oh, yes. Do you mean covering or that I've been to? Those are two covering. Different things.
Covering.
Oh, covering?
With access to the press room.
Sixth, I think? Hmm. Fifth or sixth, one of the two. Fifth or sixth, one of those two.
From one reporter to another, what is your overall feel for this year's TGS?
Oh, it's so weird because it's the biggest TGS ever. They've actually taken out all of the halls of Makuhari Meisei.
Really?
Which I've never done before. All of them, yes. All 11 halls. And so I'm kind of like, okay, but what are you going to fill it with?
That's the thing. That's what I'm...
I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that there's no video games. I'm just saying, like... I'm not saying that the industry is in trouble or you know, any panicky stuff like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, usually the 8 halls is enough. So I'm really curious as to what we need these other 3 halls for.
Yeah.
Because, usually it would be like, what would it be, like 6 of them or so are... just the game stuff, you know, and then you have the one with like the big stage and the big like arena,
for the sort of event hall,
and all that. And
then there's the swag,
And then like in recent years, they've had the cosplay, like off on a whole different section. But even that was only one hall. It was like independent games and cosplay.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what we need the other halls for. I'm kind of baffled by that. Did just more mobile game people want to come? Or?
Oh, God.
Oh, what? I don't know.
Yeah. I do know for a fact that, what is that, Grand Blue Fantasy, the smartphone game, that one has an entire booth to itself. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm kind of interested, like, what are we filling the space with? Apparently the map came out. I haven't seen the map yet, but it came out today.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that would probably answer all my questions, but, yes. Yeah. And, I think we're going to see a lot of, more lower key stuff. Like, I don't think we'll see a lot of the big blockbusters.
No, that's the thing.
Like, I think 15 is video only.
No, they're gonna have a, they're definitely gonna have a stage event.
Are you sure? Well yeah, okay, a stage event, yes, but I meant not no hands-on demos.
Oh, right, no, no, like Square Enix only has two demos, and one of them, get this, is Final Fantasy 14.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's Heavensward, which is already out.
Yeah.
So
I think we'll see. I think we'll see a lot of smaller stuff. I mean, I'm sure we'll see our yearly Dynasty Warriors, our yearly... probably from Capcom, we'll probably get some Ace Attorney stuff.
Yep. Oh, we will.
Yeah, for Six. Since they've announced that Six exists.
Yeah. Well, they've announced that it's going to be playable at TGS.
Yeah, they always have the demo. Yeah. And then what else? I mean... I expect it to be kind of standard fare, because we don't have anything super big. If we're not going to have 15 playable, and Metal Gear's done, you know? Yeah. Those are the big Japanese games. I mean, Last Guardian, maybe?
Oh, right, yeah.
But if it is really something new, I'll be surprised. It's probably just a retooling or a slight fixing up of the of what the press got to play at E3.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, I've only been to three so far, but each time, for me the overall atmosphere of Tokyo Game Show has been, there's been a direct relation to how big E3 was, a lot of the when E3 is really big, and something there's a huge super announcement. Tokyo Game Show is kind of... we already saw this
when
sort of stuff.
Game-wise, yeah. Like, the thing about Tokyo Game Show that I went to a couple years of Tokyo Game Show that were really interesting because, like, one year was Kinect and Move have just been, shown up. And then the next one is, like, oh, VR! And then, oh, the Vita! And, the Xbox One and PS4 are playable! Whoa! Just bam, 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 year after year after year. And now we're finally in the middle of the cycle, PS4 has been out there. Xbox One's been out there for a while.
Yep.
The only possible new system that's coming is,
the Nintendo's.
Is Nintendo's. And Nintendo doesn't come to TGS, so... there we go.
We've covered
now.
The trifecta,
right, it's all games. It's no new hardware gimmicks. It's none of that stuff.
Yeah.
And, I think we'll see some cool stuff. Probably some Persona, I would think.
Yeah.
So the Sega booth will be pretty big, probably. I'm sure Bandai Namco will have something... Either One Piece or Dragon Ball or Gundam or whatever.
I've heard rumors that there's the Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 is coming out.
Sure. That's fine. It's just that kind of stuff, I don't think it'll do poorly or anything, and I think I bet you we'll come across a lot of games that nobody had really thought about.
Yeah.
That are going to really get to shine here in Tokyo.
That's the thing. There are so... Yeah. Like, I recently on another podcast, the Rage Sled podcast, they were actually answering a listener question who was asking, hey, I'm taking a visit East Europe and Asia, but is there anything that hasn't come back to the States that I might be interested, that I might find there? And I was just thinking back of my back catalog of games that, did not get a Western release. Like some of the really good ones, and there are several gems.
Yeah, but recently it's been pretty good. If a game is pretty good, it almost guaranteed to get a Western release. Almost.
I don't know. Do you think? What is it? Omega Labyrinth will.
I don't think it'll be a good game, so I don't think. But I don't think it'll be a good game, but just because it's so weird in concept, it might get a release.
So for people who don't know, probably that's most people. But Omega Labyrinth is this game where The more, like, it's a, what's the term, a roguelike dungeon crawler game, where basically when you move, the enemy moves at the same time. It's like that, mysterious dungeon sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, except the hitch is that by defeating enemies, you're controlling, like, cute girls who go enter the dungeon and stuff like explore, but by killing enemies, their boobs get bigger.
Yep. The more you kill, the bigger your boobs get. Because it's something like they store, like, spiritual energy in their boobs.
Yeah.
God. But, that's D3. Yeah. That's just so weird. That's so weird Japan enough.
Yeah.
Crazy Japan enough. That, I can totally see that going west.
Really?
Just because. Look, Galgun's going west, so.
Seriously?
Yeah, the Galgun 2. Or Galgun Double Piece.
Oh, my.
That's all. As funny and silly as that game is, the fact that it is getting a Western release. But that's what the developers said on their blog. They were like,
wow.
Oh, we didn't expect such foreign interest. And I'm like...
interest? Yeah, but methinks you may have mistaken interest for, I don't know, piqued amazement and aghastness.
Yeah. I'm sure there's just as many people who would legitimately enjoy it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean,
players and then the non-ironic players.
My favorite game that I really wish you should play sometime is Gun Parade March.
I have played Gun Parade March.
Oh, you've played? Oh, okay.
I've beaten Gun Parade March several times.
Oh, okay.
And two of the three versions of Gun Parade Orchestra as well.
Ah, okay. Jesus, I remember last time I... Wait, when did this happen?
High school.
Oh, okay. No, that's the other one I was talking about. No, not Gun Parade March. The other one. Mitsumete Night.
Yeah, that one I have not done. No, I haven't done that one. But I have done good old Oreshikamane o Koete Yuke.
Yeah.
Which I was so impressed that the sequel got released in America.
Yeah.
That was nice. I never would have guessed that. Not in a million years.
Yeah.
But lo and behold. And people seem to... Those who own Vitas seem to like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Danganronpa just came out on Vita. That's good.
Yep.
Sorry, the new one.
Yeah.
Which is funny. I love the hell out of that game. I might buy it again. Might buy it again in English.
The Vita.
I love my Vita TV.
I love it. It's so unfortunate it's just not getting a popularity overseas. It's such an unappreciated gem.
I don't know how it's doing in Europe, though.
That's an interesting
question. Well, because, like, the interesting thing about... people always talk about how the PSP was such a flop, right?
No.
Except it was an incredible success in Japan and Europe.
Yeah.
It kind of bombed in... it did bomb in America and Australia. But Europe? They loved the crap out of it. So I wonder how the Vita's doing over there. Because the Vita does okay here in Japan.
Yeah. More than okay.
Yeah.
Like if you've looked at the release list of, like, upcoming games, the Vita list is very reminiscent of the PSP list, which is basically, it's the longest list.
Yeah, right.
It's, like, of upcoming games. Yeah. The PSP Go was...
Well, we don't talk about the PSP Go.
I don't know how much I should say, but my PSP Go is my... It might be, hands down, my best console. The best console I have. Because the fact that it is hackable.
Well, but originally it wasn't.
Not. Yeah, as it wasn't intended, it was an unfortunate... It was an unfortunate adventure in the unknown.
Well, the problem is it doesn't work for Japan.
Yeah.
Where in a country where you can't rent games.
Yeah.
And reselling is therefore so important.
Yeah.
Making a system where you're like, oh, it's just like the normal PSP, only you can't resell your games, is, that's not going to go down too well.
Yeah. There was a time when you could rent games in Japan. Not anymore, but...
1985,
Actually, in the 90s.
No, it was illegal in the 90s. Absolutely.
Oh,
100% illegal in the 90s.
Oh, right. Shit, sorry. I'm talking about something else.
Yeah.
Forget that. Nope. Yeah. Said nothing. Oh.
Yeah.
Scratch that.
It's basically because what ended up happening is in the early to mid 80s, when home computers started becoming a thing, software was so unbelievably expensive that what we would do is you'd go to the computer store and you would just rent Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
And you'd rent it and you'd just hold it on your computer and you wouldn't need the disks anymore and you'd just give them back. And even then, the guys would be like, well, you might need to reinstall it. So how about I give you a backup copy for a fourth of the price? And then, so that was it. So everybody was making money off bootlegs from the stores to, like, the people, right?
Yeah.
But the companies weren't making any money. And this went for all computer software, not just games. But, of course, games were part of it. And so what they ended up doing is it's illegal to rent software, be it a game or computer software. They made that illegal and never changed. And because that law is still in place, that's why there's no renting in Japan. And honestly, the game companies don't want it to be legal.
Yeah, because they don't get a hand in it, yeah.
Yep, because they like the resale market. They like how it works like that. And of course, all the resale stores won't want it the same way as it's always been for them. They don't want to have to deal with rental. So it doesn't exist. Which is really, really kind of funny to think about. Because, do you remember a couple years ago, a store tried to do this thing where they were like, if you rent this brand new game, if you buy this full brand new game for full price and you sell it back within 5 days, then we'll give you a 90% refund.
Huh. I did not encounter this. They tried that.
They made it like 3 weeks. Before, like, the other used stores and stuff and bigger game companies were threatening to close them down. Although that said, in all fairness, when you sell a game in Japan, like, if I buy a game for $50, I can usually sell it for, like, $35.
Yeah. So it has to be fairly close to release, but...
Yeah, sure. But or a rarer game, or one that's constantly in demand, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, even old games, I always get more than I would ever have gotten at a GameStop. Like, even the oldest game I have, I make more than when I used to trade stuff into GameStop.
Yeah.
Because GameStop, like, you'll take a $50 game and you'll try to trade it back in and they'll give you, like, $15. It's real harsh in America like that. But again, that's because you also have a rental market.
Yeah.
And in Japan, with no rental market, they can afford to pay you more for your games. So.
Okay, yeah.
Yay.
But yeah, that's kind of where the PSP Go was kind of ahead of its time with the digital.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how much do you think the digital download version market, how is that doing in Japan?
Nobody posts their numbers.
That's the thing. They're very hush hush about it, and I'm very curious. Like, I mean, obviously with games that like sell out like wildfire, like what was that? Animal Crossing. I got the download version of that. I know several people who had got the download version of that because it was just not in stores.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, I can see people really buying. But the fact of the matter is the vast majority of people
prefer physical media.
They want the physical media so they can sell it back.
Yeah.
Or have the option, at least, to sell it back. And since often, at least in Japan, the physical and the download prices are the same.
Yeah, that's the thing.
There's no reason to go digital unless you know you love it. You love the game. You love it so much. You want to have its children, you know?
I could make an exception for Metal Gear Solid.
I actually do have the digital copy for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got the West... Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense why you got faster than Brian, because he went for opted for the physical
one. He wanted the physical one, and normally I would, but I don't need it. I was like... I think I'm okay with this one. It just the same because my Ground Zeroes copy is digital as well, and I was just like, might as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm also still kind of stuck in the physical media.
Oh, I always am. So. Like, this is literally the exception. The singular exception. if I can get it on disc, I want it on disc.
Well, my biggest problem is the fact that I often have... So, this has changed in this year alone, but I often have so many games that if I had it in digital format, it wouldn't fit. Like, they wouldn't all fit. Like, I think my PS4 is already kind of groaning.
Well, the problem with, like, digital in general is this. In 20 years, do you really expect the PS3 store to still be operational?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
And if you rightly say no, then the question is your PS3 hard drive, A, going to last forever?
Yeah. No.
And B, is it big enough to fit all the stuff on it you want?
Yeah.
Again, no.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll figure out a way around that at some point. Like, you know.
Sort of like the good old games route. Or...
Yeah. Some kind of way of backing that up for people.
Yeah.
Or a way of linking it into their current stores or something like that. Maybe that will happen. But you're banking on that. You're banking on them caring. They have your money. They don't need to care anymore.
Yeah.
They've already won, okay?
Yeah.
You spent your money.
Yeah, that's one of the most unfortunate things I often run into. Like, sorry, random question. What is your favorite game of all time?
I mean, of course it changes from time to time, but I think my absolute favorite is Lunar the Silver Star Story Complete.
Oh, wow, that's a great one. Yeah.
That's the one that you will almost never hear people say. Most people like the second one better, but not me. First one, it's a very cliche story.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that stories are cliche. Mm. It's because they've captured the imagination and people love them. It's just, the problem is you've heard it so many times it gets boring. But I would say of the that type of fantasy story, I'd say that Lunar the Silver Star story is the best that story's ever been told. That, and never before have I ever seen an RPG where you can die after the final boss. And that's pretty hardcore. I love that that can happen. And it will happen to most people, too. You have to really, really have paid attention not to die after the final boss. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, my favorite game of all time is Languisher 3. And it is a game, and I need to add this because it is a game that is fundamentally broken, and you cannot play it unless you turn off the battle system. Makes it very interesting.
That broken?
Yeah. Okay, wow. It's for the Sega Saturn, when very early when the Sega Saturn was trying to compete with the PlayStation by every game had to have 3D in it. Despite being a 2D game, which 2D games was where the Saturn excelled at, but they stuck in this half-assed 3D polygon battle mode. Like it's a tactical RPG, but when units come in contact with other units, you enter battle mode, and then the battle plays out automatically. But it's in all these 3D polygons, and it was so broken that a single battle between two units can take about 5 minutes. And this is a war going on. And
yeah,
so, like, the outcome between two units can take up to 5 minutes. Just think about that.
Yeah,
so clearing
that might
a single
take a while.
Stage, yeah, even the very first stage, which is it's a battle you're supposed to lose, took like nearly 2 hours, and that's supposed to be like your introductory, your tutorial stage.
But you can turn that off, apparently.
Yeah, but you can turn off that. Polygonal bullcrap, and then like the first stage is over in like 5-10 minutes. But
at least they put that in there, right?
Yeah. But it's a game that, like, it was on the Sega Saturn, so like, and fortunately my Saturn still runs, so actually I can play it every now and again. But otherwise, you know, that game it did get a re-release on the PlayStation 2. But the re-release was so half-assed. That, yeah, it was one of those, like, we got this property, let's just remake, blah, sort of thing. So that, so it's like, it's missing major components. And one of the fun things about that game was that it, like, it had its, it was one of those games that had cheat codes in it, but they're cheat codes that made the game more interesting. And stuff like that. But, yeah, that's a game that, like, I dread never being able to play it again. And I know that's eventually going to come. So.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, so that's that kind of longevity thing.
Yeah, like, I have my good old disc copies collector edition of Lunar Silver Star Story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, who knows? I mean, it's been re-released for the... What, for the DS... And the... Or maybe it was the GBA, even. Whew. And the PSP got a re-release.
Yep.
But me, I prefer the original PlayStation. I don't... I mean, I know that... Like, some of the voice acting is absolutely terrible. and some of it's really good. Like, the guy who plays Galleon is amazing in the... He's really... He does exactly the voice that Galleon should have. But, you know... Do you know the story of how the voice acting works for the PlayStation version of that game?
No.
So, like, originally the game came out on Sega CD.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly like that version of the game, but it's okay. But the Silver Star Story Complete on the PlayStation is the better version. Yeah. And, what happened is when they... After our good old pal Matt Ault... I don't know if you know Matt, but... Mm. After he translated the game... And the people over at Working Designs in America got a hold of it. You know, they started doing auditions for all the characters. And what they ended up doing, though, is they brought in the guy who had originally done it, this kid who had done the voice as, like, a 10-year-old or something for the original cut of the script for the Sega CD in the American release. But now he's, like, you know, like 14 or 15, so his voice is completely different. But the characters actually aged up in the PlayStation version of it, so they ended up hiring him again. So even though his voice sounds completely different, it's the same main character, same Alex. but then when they put it on PSP, they redid the whole thing, revoice cast the whole thing, and they're not bad. You know, I'm just used to it. You know, it's kind of that thing where it's like when you compare Metal Gear Solid and Twin Snakes. Yeah, I'm bringing it back. You see that?
I saw that one coming a mile away. Right. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, Twin Snakes and the original. Like, I like the original has a better soundtrack, and I like the character voices generally better. Mm-hmm. However, some of the stuff they did for the GameCube voice acting. That was really good, like dropping the kind of racist accents of various people. Well, it was a nice touch. But I still don't think the vocal performance was as good. And so, yes, I still play with my Mei Lin, you know, having her stereotypical accent instead of just a normal accent.
Well, see, I just play the Japanese version where they all have Japanese accents, so...
Yes. I don't know. I haven't done the first one in Japanese. Oh. I've done the second one, though. And I've done Peace Walker in Japanese. And it's fine. I mean, honestly, I can go either way. They both have great voice casts. But I'm sorry, if I can have my Jennifer Hale, I want my Jennifer Hale. And David Hayter does a good Snake, and so does Kiefer Sutherland. Bam, tied it back in. All done. There we go. Yep. And it starts, it ends like it begins.
This has been the Metal Gear Solid episode. Oh. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, what do you think? Sort of going off, well, still on the topic of Metal Gear, but what do you think they're going to do now?
Pachinko?
And the really sad thing is I can actually see that happening.
Oh, I say it jokingly, but it's not a joke. It's going to happen. Let's
Let's be clear. Yeah. But, like, the more I think about it, like, I don't know. The question is, like, when all the Call of Duty fans, you know, only the hardest of the hardcore knew that, you know, the creators of all the popular ones were going to go off and create their own studio, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else just bought the game, and they liked the game. They liked Black Ops 2, they liked Modern Warfare 3, they loved those games.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, Kojima's arguably the most famous Japanese director. Because, yeah, unlike other people, you actually sell his games with a Hideo Kojima game, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people know who he is based on that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, like, they can try to put out another Metal Gear.
Well, they did, didn't they? I mean, they did that with Rising Revengeance.
And that did okay.
Yeah.
But I think he still... Didn't he have some oversight on that?
I really don't know. Like, I haven't really played that game all that much. I don't own a copy of it.
Yeah, I just beat it once. Yeah. That's as much as I played it. I mean, I liked it, but...
Yeah. From what I've played and what I've seen, honestly, he may have had some input, but it felt more like the game was trying to emulate Hideo Kojima than actually something that he made.
I don't know. If you go, like, spin-offs like that, I wouldn't be too upset, I suppose. I just... The idea of Konami making Metal Gear games without Kojima seems weird.
Yeah.
Like, give it to Platinum or whatever, sure.
What do you think Kojima's going to be doing now? Do you think he's going to go the crowdfunding route, or is he going to get picked up by... Like, he's going to go, hey, I'm up for hire. Or is he going to, like, start his own studio or what?
I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that some company, be that American, Chinese, or Japanese, is probably already in agreement with him, and is more than willing to give him his own studio.
Yeah.
The only question is who has enough money to fund him.
Yeah.
Because let's be serious here. The reason Metal Gear Solid 4 is, or 5 is so much fun is because how long it was in development and how much money was
money,
put in.
Yeah. And you can see the money was
put. You can see the money. The money is very obviously there all the time.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you can drop crates on people's heads.
Yeah.
You can do it.
You can
They programmed that in.
You can drop it on your own horse's head.
Yes, you knock out your own horse.
Yeah, you can do that. Right. Like, they programmed... Yeah, some of the stuff they put in there. Every now and then, like, when you're looking at that vast landscape, that wherever it is, Afghanistan or whatever, yeah, it kind of dawns on you. Like, you know, seeing all that's in there and just, like...
Yeah.
Somebody... Like, somebody programmed each individual part. Like, it's kind of... it feels more than Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, Grand Theft Auto 5 was pretty amazing. Like, for the world that they had made, that semi-Los Angeles.
But and suburbs and so much more. Yeah.
But even so, like, just everything that's... I mean... Not just because it's not just the world itself, but it's everything you can do in it.
Yeah.
For Metal Gear.
Yeah, yeah, they've done, like, that's the thing. They went in and just, you know, it was like somebody had an idea and put it in there. Or every location's been detailed in certain ways. And
It is
good. It's what it is.
I mean, like... Very, very early on, like your first visit to the mother base.
Yeah.
Just saying, like their first visit to the mother base. When you go there, and Ocelot is teaching you stuff. It's a tutorial, and he shows you like take your trank gun, and like you can target stuff, and like you know shoot that guy. So the first thing I did, shot Ocelot, and that part is programmed in there. Like he responds, like he's like no.
Oh.
Yeah, first thing I did was shoot Ocelot. He's like, that won't work on me because I think... And, like, yeah, they actually... They knew that I was going to do that. Like, they knew that if you give somebody, you know, this toy, they're going to play with it some way. And so they thought of the options.
Like, yeah, there's actually, in my playthrough, I skipped one of the boss fights on accident. And because, yeah, basically, like the person you're supposed to go in and abduct is, like, standing on this balcony. And when you get close, they retreat farther into the room. But I have a sniper rifle with a tranquilizer dart on it. Why in God's name would I walk into that room where I know that guy's waiting for me when I can snipe him and he's still on the balcony? And yeah, that was a boss fight. I skipped. I skipped an entire cutscene and boss fight. I didn't mean to, but I did. But like, that was the thing, is they programmed that in there. They didn't have to do that. They could have made it that even if I tranked him, you know, I go up there and cutscene starts.
Yeah.
They could have done that. They could have gone the lazy route, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They just were like, okay, you don't get that cutscene in that boss battle. Good job. Yeah.
And yet, they programmed that in there, which means that the money went into that programming. And do you know?
I really don't know what studios have the money to support Kojima.
Yeah. Or at least his vision.
Or he could go back to making things like Snatchers. You know, which are almost, that one's almost a visual novel, right?
Yeah. Or Police Nuts, or...
Yeah. And you know, maybe he wants to go back to smaller games like that. He could do it.
Yeah. Huh.
Oh, no.
Yep. So, this has been the Metal Gear... This has ended up being the Metal Gear Solid... Everything we try to talk about something else, it goes back to this, but... Metal Gear Solid episode of the Wayward Podcast, the supposedly Japan-centric podcast. We're part of the World of Us Cast network on oneofus.net. I'm Toshi.
I'm Richard Eisenbeist. You can follow me on the interblags at... on Twitter at Biggest in Japan, or just come over to Kotaku and read my stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any idea for the outro song?
No. What Sins of the Father, there we go. Donna Burke, right there.
All right. All right, so this has been the Wayward Podcast. I'm Toshi.
All right. See you guys.
See you later.
Bye.